Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. You've heard of a PTA, but do you know about local school councils? Each public school in Chicago has one, and they do more than advise policy. Since they were implemented in 1989, LSCs have won funding for their schools, removed corrupt faculty, renamed schools, and even opened entire new campuses. They may serve small communities, but they're no small matter. Elections just wrapped up, so to learn about the results and what's ahead for public schools, I sat down with two LSC members, J.P. Paulus and Chinella Robinson, and Chalkbeat Education reporter Rima Amin. Here's that conversation.
LSCs were created in the late 80s, 1988 to be specific, and back then, during the very first LSC elections, more than 17,000 candidates put their names in the hats to be part of their local LSCs. That participation has dwindled over time for a variety of reasons. And, you know, now we're kind of at the point where at the last election, only 6,000 people filed to be a candidate. Like I said, I think there's a lot of reasons behind that. One of those reasons is just a lot of people don't know that their schools have these mini school, so-called mini school boards, or that parents and other community members don't know that they have the ability to vote.
Are schools just not sending out enough emails? As a parent, I get a lot of emails.
I think my panelists could talk about that too.
Yeah.
But I think there is, you know, it feels like people have said there's a lack of information. And again, lots of people don't even know that their local schools have these kind of mini school boards.
Yeah. Well, Chinella, this is exactly the type of problem that Raise Your Hand is looking to solve. Is that right?
It is. Yes. I think that one of the big reasons is, again, not enough people know. And especially when it comes to community members, people who live in the neighborhood that can run, they're not aware that they can. And so a lot of times that's why those seats are being filled. In South and West Side schools, we have issues where schools are not informing us like they would in more affluent neighborhoods. So parents, again, don't know what's going on. They don't know about the LSC. They don't know what it is that the LSC does and how they can participate.
So then, of course, then that leads to you having a challenge in trying to fill those seats. I hear you had some firsthand experience, JP, with not just the lack of candidates for LSCs, but the lack of voter turnout. So talk about that, what you saw Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, so for example, at Phillips High School, which their boundaries are basically just south of WBEZ Studios, goes through Bronzeville, where it's located, all the way down to Woodlawn, but only eight people had actually voted in that particular election. And I know three of them were community. I was one of them, and I heard the other two come in. So that's just how small it was for at least for that particular school versus other schools like Uplift in Uptown on the north side. They had 120 people vote for their top community candidates, even though only 40 votes for the parents, which was kind of odd to me.
Mm. You served on the Burnside Scholastic Academy LSC for 12 years. And as I mentioned, that's not the only one that you were a member of. So, I mean, safe to say, JP, you are a seasoned LSC veteran here on this panel. So talk about how you first got involved in the first place.
Yeah. So for me, first got involved just simply by going to those LSC meetings. I was taking care of a newborn, and so I had some free time to be able to do that. I kept coming consistently, and so one of the current members had invited me, hey, why don't you go ahead and run? And so I went ahead and did that, and just saw, once I actually ran as a parent, then I was able to just to see more about the inner workings of how the school works, and then also was able to start forming relationships with fellow members. And so that, for me, I think that's also what kept me going, too, is just seeing more and more people being involved in that building of relationship.
Yeah. Well, congratulations are in order, Chinella. I mean, as I said, you were elected to two LSCs just this past week. What motivated you to run?
I know that there's a need. I actually served at Walter H. Diet with JP. And so we were on the LSC when Diet was a school that was closed. And so we were on the first LSC once it reopened. It was actually just my son's mentor asked me to run because my son was running as a student rep. And I knew nothing about it,
yeah.
But it was the fact that my son was doing it. So I'm like,
what was his motivation?
He knew it was important. He was part of the fight for a diet to reopen that school. So just, you know, the youth are who got me inspired and understanding. So once I got into that LSC at Walter H. Diet, I just started to realize how important it is and how valuable it is for parents to have a role in the school and make sure, you know, that things are going the way that they should for the student's success.
Mm-hmm. I want to get some more of the nuts and bolts from you too before I return to Rima here, because it's not just challenging to run, as we've been talking about. It's also challenging to join an LSC. The training for new members, I hear that's quite intensive. 18 hours of online modules and a 300-page handbook. Is that right, JP?
Yeah, and even though actually the online part is kind of more recent and made it more convenient for people, but I actually like the in-person one better, because that way you can get sort of the behind-the-scenes information about things like principal selection or evaluation and budget, so that way you can really understand how things work and just hear the real deal.
Can you speak to that as well? Just what you're facing as a parent member joining LSC?
Yes, it is a very daunting task to make sure that you get through all of those modules.
Yeah.
Once you complete them, they are good for 2 years. So that is helpful if you're a person that's going to continue to, you know, have a seat or go to a different school. I find being in person is better as well. I like to ask a lot of questions and make sure that I'm understanding what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to add that I prefer taking the certified LSC trainings that grassroots organizations hold versus the ones that LSC Relations hold.
Interesting.
It's very different.
Yeah,
it's
tell just, us more about that, because I know that this is also something that you're trying to combat that with Raise Your Hand.
Correct. LSC Relations is very, very by the book when you're going through the modules. And I feel like a lot of parents have come and said that they don't go into the details that they need to make sure that they understand, especially when it comes to that budget. A lot of parents are very confused and concerned that they are not understanding that budget process correctly. And I found between sitting with trainees in LSC Relations versus like these grassroots organizations like Raise Your Hand, that I get a better, deeper understanding. Organizations like Raise Your Hand is going to tell you everything, the good and the bad. And so I think that CPS sometimes they put a filter on things. So yeah, making sure that you get through those trainees, making sure that they're understood. I know that we were having trouble making sure that everyone was certified during the pandemic. We are still in a pandemic, but I feel like we're getting better with making sure that everyone is up on, you know, knowing everything that they should. Unfortunately, what we are finding out is, as far as principals, maybe about only 5% of principals have actually completed their LSC trainings.
Okay.
So that makes it difficult for organizations like Raise Your Hand. You know, we get a lot of parents and community members and even teachers that are on the LSCs that have questions and feel like the principal is saying and doing things that they probably shouldn't be. And it's because
they
CPS
haven't been
is
trained.
Not, yeah, they're, mm-hmm. they're not making sure that those trainings are happening.
WBEZ is supported by Chicago Humanities, presenting live events with historians Doris Kearns Goodwin and John Meacham, comedian Reggie Watts and filmmaker Miranda July, and artists Hebrew Brantley and Amanda Williams in conversation, plus MSNBC chief correspondent Ali Velshi on small yet powerful acts of courage throughout history. Tickets for these events and more conversations on arts, culture, and current affairs at chicagohumanities.org.
Rima, in your experience covering education in the city of Chicago, is this LSC problem that we're talking about, is it representative of education equity issues across the city at large?
I think that the issue of vacancies and this issue that people don't know that these LSCs exist can, you know, I think there's a big equity component there. Actually, Raise Your Hand did a study last summer, that found that schools that have largely Black student populations are more likely not to have really basic information online, which they're legally supposed to, such as when is the meeting happening? What were the meeting minutes from last time? And that means that schools with largely Black student populations could potentially be missing out on having that community participation and knowing what's going on at their school. So I think that's a huge issue here.
So is anything being done to address these kinds of problems, either at that local level or the city level even?
You know, the district, when we've asked them about this, has said that they're continuously working to engage more people in the community and get them more involved and raise awareness. And, you know, around election time, they do try to spread the word. But it's obvious that just looking at some of the numbers, I mean, if you just go online and look, about 30% of schools with LSCs have enough people who ran this year to fill vacancies. So the data shows that there is still this hole there.
Yeah. Yeah. You both, JP and Chinella, you hold LSC positions at schools that are on the South Side, who, as Remus pointed out, their LSCs are rarely, if ever, fully staffed. From what I understand, JP, it's not too late to keep filling these empty seats. Is that right? There's a process in place to sort of add interested members even after the election?
Yeah. Really at any LSC meeting, but the best way would be at there's an organizational meeting that happens within the first 2 weeks of July that every LSC has to have. And that would be the sort of the best way to get on, where they can contact the principal to be on the agenda. And that LSC has enough members for a quorum, which is 7 for elementary, 8 for high school. Then they can hear your statement, and then they can actually vote you in as to fill in those blanks. And to know which ones you're eligible for, you can just Google LSC election map 2024, and you can look up the red numbers at a school you qualify for. So if you're a parent, you can type in your child's school, and you can see for yourself, or use your address for an open community position. And then you're looking for numbers like 5 out of 6, or for parents, or 1 out of 2, or 0 out of 2 for community. And that's how you know where you can fill the gap.
Yeah. Anything else to add, Chinella, on your part? Just the issues that this has created for your LSCs, not being able to fill these seats.
Now that the elections are over, this is something that Raise Your Hand is focusing on to support parents, students, and communities to make sure that we fill those vacancies. I did want to add with the instructions that JP was giving, as far as community members, just remember that once you type in your address, several schools can pop up, and you do have the option to have a seat at several of those schools, just like I am a parent of 2 children at 2 different schools.
Right.
So parents as well, if you have children that are in multiple schools, please, you know, take the time if there is an open seat after or during that organization meeting, you know, throw your hand in there, introduce yourself, let people, you know that, you know, you want to be a part of the school community.
That's a good tip.
We are focusing on making sure that those schools on the south and west side that do not have full LSCs, we can get people seated so that they can have that decision-making power that they need.
Rima, as we know, the Chicago School Board plans to transition from fully appointed to fully elected by 2027. What does this mean then for LSCs? Are there concerns that LSCs will then be overshadowed by the new school board?
Yeah, so legally speaking, LSCs are enshrined in state law, so any changes to their actual powers would have to be done on a state level. But I have heard concerns from folks in the community and even internally at CPS that, you know, folks are worried that perhaps this power that they've held at the school level to advocate for various issues might be overshadowed by their local community representative. I mean, this board is going to grow to be a 21-member board from the 7-person board that currently is. So I've heard concerns like that. But again, any actual change to LSC powers would have to be done on a state level. So this shouldn't actually technically take away any of their duties.
Well, on the flip side, I mean, will LSCs then serve as sort of a testing ground for these school board candidates? What do you think?
Yeah, we've heard that too, that it's possible, and I think there's been some rumblings too, that folks who have kind of been on the ground at LSCs and have perhaps served for many years now feel like it's time for them to step up to a fully elected board and represent their community that way. So we could certainly see folks like that.
We'll leave it there for now. That's Rima Amin, who's an education reporter for Chalk Beach, Chicago. JP Paulus, who's a longtime member of Burnside Scholastic Academy's local school council. And Chinella Robinson, who was just elected to 2 LSCs at Kenwood High School and Bret Hart Elementary. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. For more coverage of the economy, the arts, politics, and more, make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and let's talk soon.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.